Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation for the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. It's great to be with you today. I'm Leah Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and producer, and I was so happy to see that Halloween was back this year. Fantastic night at my house. Liz, how are you?
Halloween was totally back in my neighborhood, Leah, and I live in Santa Monica. The main drag is called Montana Avenue. So I went and I sat out at a restaurant on Montana with a friend, and we watched all the kids and parents in costumes go by. My favorite, the family of hot dogs that went by on scooters. That was the best. That was the best. All of them were hot dogs. All of them were on scooters. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister, and I'm in Dallas, Texas. And there is just a special thrill about being able to give candy to a 3 or 4 year old who is just the look in their eyes when strangers are giving them candy bars. They're like, this must be heaven. It's so great. But it's heaven for me. I love doing it. I love seeing the little ones all dressed up. It was a great night here in Dallas.
Yeah, there was definitely a special joy. Our numbers were back up. We had about 150 kids and they were running down the street. I got kind of teary eyed right in the beginning. I was like, this is nice. Cause last year it was completely canceled in California. So what a special night. Shout out to the trio of like 12-year-old girls that dressed up as Jane Austen, Elizabeth Bennet, and Mr. Collins. I thought those were good outfits.
Good outfits.
All right. Today on the show, we're covering a lot today. It's like a hodgepodge, but a high level hodgepodge is what I would say. We have a menu challenge and a Cooking with Liz wrap up. We're going to talk about college admissions. You have to change your clocks. Don't forget, Julie has a whole list of other gadgets. Liz, you have a health checklist. Yep. How are you doing on some of those? Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And suggested by a listener, Leanne. So we're just going to, she put down the challenge. So we're just going to run through it for people.
All right. And then we have a lot going on in entertaining sisters. So that's the show today. But first, you know, Liz and Julie, I worked this weekend. I led my first humor writing workshop. I had mentioned this on,
Yeah, I know. How was that?
Leanne, as a teacher. Okay. All right.
Right. I know, Julie. People have said to me, you should teach. You should teach. I'm like, really? Have you seen me try to help my kids with their homework? I don't think I should teach.
Just not that good.
Maybe it's teach what you know. Maybe that's why humor writing is good for you.
I have to say, Liz, I really enjoyed it. It was an all day thing. I did it with my friend, Jill Daniel, who runs a great, company called Happy Women Dinners, where she's put together all these virtual events. And I'm going to put links to Jill's events and things like that in this week's pep talk. So she asked me to lead this writing workshop. It was hands-on. We were meeting in someone's backyard here in Los Angeles. She has a really great group of women, a great mailing list in Southern California that she's cultivated, women that are interested in workshops and self-improvement. Some of them were writers already. Some of them were just dipping their toe into writing and were particularly interested in humor. So I worked together like 6 hours worth of material. I mean, that's a lot. I don't know how teachers do it every day, because I did it one day and I was like, I need to take 6 months off. But it was really fun. I appreciated that it happened to be all women. That's not the rule, but it was about, I think a dozen women signed up, 10 came. They came ready to work and ready to really learn. And I had organized the day, and I thought of Sheila. I had a big flip chart. I bought a big flip chart because we were going to be outside so we could write things down. And we played Mad Libs and, you know, substituting in funny words, and we did workshopping, and then they shared their work and I read it out loud, and then we all commented and I gave them some thoughts and stuff. But it was really fun. Fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. I'd like to thank everybody who came, because they really made it fun. I thought, if people don't participate, this is about 20 minutes worth of
Yeah.
Okay. That's
But it sounds that's like you had a structure that inspired them to have fun and be fun. So that's good. That's a good start.
I tried.
You could always have like a backup movie, you know, like, you know how teachers used to always have film strips, slideshows. You always have that in your pocket just in case things go south. Okay. Keep that in mind.
Well, I think I will be doing another one of these in Northern California in the spring. So if you're in Northern California, be on the lookout. Jill and I are going to plan something in April. If my friend Louise is listening, yes, I will be staying in your guest room. So so be on the lookout for that. But it was really fun. And thanks to everybody who came. I really appreciated it.
Good, good. Well, Leanne and Liz, I had kind of a big week, because you know what I had to do this past week? I had to go to a formal event. Okay. Remember
I don't remember those.
Whoa, I haven't. I mean, it seems like years. I mean, what a mountain to climb to put together the shoes, the accessories, the Spanx, you know, to get it all together. But it was kind of fun. It was interesting. It was the Texas Business Person Hall of Fame. Now, as you know, Texas is a big state. We have a lot of big companies. We have big personalities. We have big entrepreneurs. So it's a really big deal here in Texas, this Hall of Fame. And one of the 2020 recipients who wasn't able to attend last year, but came back as the MC, was Kendra Scott. Do you recognize that name? Liz, you should, because she owns the jewelry company, Kendra Scott, okay? And Cooking with Liz watchers will notice that Liz was wearing a pair of earrings in the last episode, and those were Kendra Scott earrings, because I gave those to you, Liz. Do you remember
that's
that?
That's right. My birthday earrings. You explained to me who Kendra Scott was. Right. Yes. Oh, no, I love those earrings. Thank you.
What a personal story. I mean, she was actually home on leave from work from one company because she was pregnant and the doctor said she needed to be on bed rest. So she had $500 and she started working on jewelry in her spare bedroom. So that seems like that's pretty hard to turn that into what is now a $1 billion business, the Kendra
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, because she has boutiques. She sells them. She sells it through Nordstrom's and Neiman Marcus and various other stores. And what she really aims at is sort of attainable jewelry. She wants to create a jewelry store where it's friendly. It's not fussy. You don't have to be afraid to go in there. They have all kinds of jewelry at all kinds of different price points. But her personal story about just risking everything she had, and she had already had other businesses that hadn't really taken off. So this was her third attempt at a business. And, you know, she has become this, you know, giant business. She has a big part of her business where she gives back to the community, and that, you know, she has a big philanthropic aspect to everything that she does. About 98% of the people that work on her team are women that she has employed for this. And it's just, you know, it was so impressive to see and, you know, really understand what it takes to be an entrepreneur, you know, the personal risk that they, you know, they get involved in, and, you know, just trying to really make it happen. She was in some of her comments, she did thank her bank because she said the last couple of years during the pandemic has been very hard, understandably. But she's back in business and very, very inspiring. So, Liz, you can wear those Kendra Scott earrings with some additional pride. That's what
Wow. She's got, I'm just looking at a story about her in Forbes. She's got 106 stores. And wow, that is quite an empire. Okay. That must have been really interesting. But how did you feel being in formal wear?
I made it happen, sisters. I made it happen. It was a lot of effort all the way around. But once you got all the gear on, I was like, okay, this is pretty good. This is pretty fun. You know, it's such an experience that none of us have had recently. So that was nice. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, I had a big week last week. It was the final episode in my Tucci-tober series on Cooking with Liz. You know, listeners will know that, you know, I started this pandemic cooking project very early in the unpleasantness, thinking like, okay, I'm home alone all day, every day, all night, every night. I better learn to whip up a few things. So I feel like I've come a long way. Well, in a long time. I was going to say a long way in a short time, but no, it's been a super long time. Anyway, so my theme for October was all things Stanley Tucci. And so last week as the finale, I made the pasta con zucchini alla Nerano, which is basically the fried zucchini he did in his TV show that people went crazy over. You guys saw that, right? Everybody wanted to like get to the secret of the fried zucchini. So I did that. I would feel like I did an okay job with that dish, though my neighbor Deborah came to the tasting window. She raved about it, of course, because that's her job, is to rave about it. But you know, it was a little bit discombobulated in the kitchen last Thursday night. And at the last minute, I could not find my pepper. And I think it might have made a major difference. It would have elevated that dish just a little bit, but it was pretty good. Anyway, so I've wrapped up Tucci-tober. We're going to have an announcement to make about where Cooking with Liz is going next, what my goal is. But first, for you two, I have a menu challenge for this weekend.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay,
If you watch Cooking with Liz, you will notice that I often credit Satellite Sisters accountant and procurement director, Diane Gray. And she became our procurement director early on in Cooking with Liz, because occasionally, like spring of 2020, when like, I don't have a frittata pan, trying to make a frittata with no frittata pan, I'd get the text from Deborah saying, I will leave my frittata pan out of my front porch. You can just come pick it up. No contact pickup. So she has been very supportive of Cooking with Liz. Anyway, it's her birthday this weekend. So I decided to make Diane a birthday dinner, which makes her like my first official guest that I will be entertaining in my home and cooking for since the beginning of Cooking with Liz. So I feel like I gotta up my game.
Well, I'm really glad that you're not going to make Diane stand at the tasting window
for her birthday.
For her birthday. Glad you've invited her in.
That's yes. Good. But I also know that Diane is a self-confessed picky eater. So I thought, okay, well, I'm basically cooking for Diane. So I should get some more details on what she means when she says picky eater. So I sent her an email the other day that just said in the subject line, what don't you eat? So now I'm going to tell you guys what Diane doesn't eat. And you're going to have the challenge is to help me figure out what should I make Diane for dinner on Saturday night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how, and again, Diane did not volunteer this. I asked her to tell me what she doesn't eat. So she said, I don't like cream-based dishes, easy on the cheese and butter. I do use butter in cooking, but never ate it as a child for some reason. Don't drink milk either. Who knows why? However, I've never passed up whipped cream or ice cream in my life. So, okay. So there's that. By the way, she's from Iowa.
She's from
so
Iowa.
I think those are key hints for the dessert, the ice cream, the whipped cream. Okay.
But people in Iowa not drinking milk. It's hard to imagine. Then she goes on though with some positive reinforcement. I do like tomato based. Mm. I do eat meat and fish and chicken and bacon. Farmer's daughter. We had our own. I guess she means they had their own pigs. I do love meatloaf and haven't had any in a long time. It was my go-to dinner at the Daily Grill on Colorado Avenue, now closed. Meatballs, a good option. What does Stanley say on that? So there's the brief, Julie and Leanne.
Yeah.
That's the Diane Gray birthday dinner challenge. So what should I make?
I mean, she's crying out for meatloaf, Liz. It's right there in the boat.
Right.
Meatloaf.
Isn't that one of the first things you made was Julie suggested the
barefoot contessa turkey meatloaf. I have made that.
It's tomato based. There's tomato in it, Liz. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in her note, she says she hasn't had any meatloaf.
So I don't really need to read between the lines.
No.
I should just read the line. I do love meatloaf and haven't had any in a long time.
What does that say to you, Liz?
Well, I was just afraid that was not elevated enough, but you're right. It's all about just delicious fundamentals.
Yeah. I would also say there is an opening for Mama Capra's marinara sauce and meatballs.
Yes.
Have you made meatballs? Okay. Have you made meatballs with Cooking with Liz?
I did make meatballs. Yes. Who knows? It's been
I can't
so long.
Remember anymore.
Yeah. I made meatballs, but everybody loves the marinara sauce. Yes.
Right.
So, okay.
So I think you could also do like spaghetti and meatballs or pasta and meatballs.
Okay. All right.
I feel like you could also do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Got a few days to decide. I think those are solid. Meatloaf, solid. Meatballs, solid. And the marinara sauce, I really do enjoy making. Anyway, I will post in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group what I decide to make. There will be no video of this dinner, Diane. I just wanted to reassure you. You will not be on camera, though I might need to take a picture of you at the tasting window when you arrive. But that's it. Okay. So it's just a headshot.
There is going to be some promotion, but it's going to be contained. Okay, Liz, once the marketer, always the marketer. Okay.
Anyway, so thank you, Diane, for the direction. And thank you, sisters, for helping me narrow it down. You're right. It says it right here in black and white, what she wants. Why?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I asked and she told me. Okay. Yes. Got it. Yes.
All right. I just want to remind people about our weekly newsletter, Pep Talk. There's a lot of good material in there. We have some special events coming up over the next couple of weeks. It is the holidays. We're going to be including a lot of recipes and links to interesting things. So if you want to become a Pep Talk subscriber, please do head on over to satellitesisters.com. When you go to our website, a window will pop up. You can put in your email address and most Fridays there'll be a pep talk in your inbox. So I want to encourage you to do that because we have a lot coming up, including a big holiday party. Liz, you're making the final plans for that. We're going to announce a date
next week. We're announcing it on next week's show. Okay. We'll have all the details of the Satellite Sisters holiday wrap party.
Okay. Okay. Woo. will there be meatballs? Stay tuned. Stay tuned, people.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leanne. Leanne, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz. I'm gonna be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Lian on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. Liz, I don't have that all the time, but that is one of, it's in my toolbox, my prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Lian. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair.
Okay, we're moving on here at Satellite Sisters. We have some new stories we want to cover. Okay, college admissions. I want to talk about college admissions because I saw this article and it really struck me. I think because I had two boys that applied to college and I blocked out the memory because it was so stressful. Is that normal, Julie? You were in college admissions for a long time.
Yes. It's very stressful for everybody involved, for the students, for the parents, the schools, the whole thing. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah. So this one caught my eye because it's about boys and it's about the number of boys who are actually applying to college and the number of boys who are actually going to college. Mm-hmm. And those numbers are really dropping at a precipitous rate, especially for boys of color. So this was a piece from Yahoo and the headline was "Education researchers reveal by why far more girls apply to college than boys, because schools prioritize organization and rule following." Julie, you probably know these statistics, but U.S. colleges are now only 40% of college students are men. So men are 40% of college students. Women are 60. Men also accounted for more than 70% of the decline in students at U.S. colleges and university over the last 5 years. And on average, boys have a tendency to have lower GPAs. So what's happening is that private colleges in particular are they're giving boys a little extra help in the admissions process because their numbers are getting so out of whack, right? So all of a sudden you're at colleges and the student body is 75% women, 25% men. So they're saying they're now accepting a higher portion of male applicants just because they want to get those numbers right.
It seems counterintuitive because, you know, for so many years we worked to increase the number of women, particularly women of color, getting into colleges and, you know, and that we had traditionally all male colleges, you know, so this is a real change.
Well, you know, it's true, right? For the last 20 years, right, the focus has been getting more women in. You know, you were sort of some of our sisters-in-law were on the front line of first women accepted to all male schools in the early 70s. And now 50 years, it seems hard, but 50 years later, here we are where boys are actually needing a little extra help to get into schools. But according to experts, the discrepancies the reason for these discrepancies are two factors in particular. First, the U.S. education system prioritizes rule following and organization over active learning. Okay, so if you've ever, you know, shepherded a boy through K through 12, you'll know that some years they just don't want to sit in their seat. I remember very distinctly my son's third grade teacher saying he just stares out the window all day because he just wants to be out at recess. So, I mean, I laugh about that now, but not a lot of absorption of learning was happening in the third grade if he was just staring out of the window. And the second thing they cite, experts say there's a shortage of male teachers and college counselors, particularly men of color. So you take an education system where they're sort of stacked against boys doing well. And then you say, we have no role models, very few college counselors in general at some of these public high schools, and no male college counselors. And boys just seem to get lost in the sauce.
Right, right. That's so unfortunate. And it seems like the gap is getting wider, Leanne, from the statistics you just quoted. You know, that's a big, big difference between, you know, only 40% men, 60% women. That's a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I remember
when you want balance in the classes, you know, the classes between men and women in college, certainly. Yes.
Well, it's sort of, you know, having no balance also begets no balance, because once the schools start to slip, all of a sudden boys are like, there are no boys that go to school here. You know, it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. I remember when my boys were applying to college, when we went to like college night, and they happened to go to an all boys high school. So they were on the opposite end of this. They had lots of male teachers. They had a male college counselor. You know, they were on sort of in perfectly poised, you know, to make the next step, as were their classmates. But I remember the college counselor saying distinctly, this was just starting to happen, these big differences in percentages of males to female campuses. And the college counselor said, oh, if you want them to go to a liberal arts school, look at small liberal arts schools in Ohio, because kids, I mean, for all of us, not so great at math and science. And so, but I was like, but, you know, strong in English history. I tried for like 18 months to talk and Colin into like a small liberal arts school in Ohio. He ended up going to a small liberal arts school in Olympia, Washington, but that was true of his school, that it was only about 25% male. So
oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just, it's something to be on the lookout, and I just, we got to get these boys up and out if that's what they want to do. And right. It starts as early as like pre-K in terms of boys to be successful in American classrooms, again, because of this focus on testing and sitting and behavior and quiet activity. Mm-hmm. And that is not a specialty of a lot of boys.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, right. And it's, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned it. It's, you know, it's going to continue to be a big issue, and hopefully we can make those kind of adjustments so that we don't lose boys, you know, and that, or if boys choose not to go to college, that they're in getting involved in trade schools or other avenues to successful adult careers. So that's important.
Well, the experts did cite that in the article, Julie, that one of the reasons they've seen in the last couple of years that boys are dropping out is because they have to go provide for their families at large. You know, that the pandemic has made things such that they have to work instead of go to college. So yeah. Even if they wanted to go to college and were set up to go to college, they can't afford to go to college, and they need to in fact get into the workforce. So I'd be curious, you know, always go over to Satellite Sisters Facebook group and let us know what's happening. I know this is the college admission season for parents, and you're trying to grind it out and keep them focused through Thanksgiving, but curious, you know, what your sons are up to, and if you've seen that discrepancy, also what your daughters say about the discrepancy on college campuses in terms of the numbers, because that does affect a social life. Mm-hmm. That does affect a campus. Mm-hmm. When it's like that. Okay. Also, we had a question on the Facebook group. Julie, you were in college admissions.
Uh-huh. So 100 years ago. So I have some really old advice and information, but yes, go ahead.
Okay. So remain anonymous, but one of our listeners wanted to know if it was okay for her daughter to wear jeans and sneakers to her college admissions interview.
I say yes. I say yeah. I mean, look at the dress code in America right now, right? I mean, she's not going in her bathrobe or slippers, so I think that's fine, right?
I'd stay away from a onesie or something.
Right.
I think you want to look like a college student, right? Jeans and sneakers.
What do you think the admissions office is wearing? Maybe some of them are dressed up, but many are not, okay? It's if that's the most comfortable style for the applicant, I'm all for that. I think college admission interviewers are really interested in getting beyond some of the superficial stuff. They're not making judgments about what you're wearing. Okay. If you were wearing the onesie, that's should rethink that.
You know, I'd like to just say that I did wear a jumpsuit to one of my college interviews. Mm-hmm. So
how did it go, Liam?
I did not get into that college. but I don't think it was my, I thought I looked great, frankly. I mean, you're saying onesie like it's a bad thing, but
I was thinking of pajama onesies. Yes.
I saw a lot of onesie costumes for Halloween, which are adorable as Halloween costumes, but yeah, it's the droopy onesie, Leon. Oh, you looked fabulous in, you know, in a one piece jumpsuit. Yeah, okay, no doubt.
Yeah, I think you should wear what expresses you the best. I don't think it needs to be business casual anymore. I know there are probably websites that recommend that, but I'm with Julie. I think they're trying to get to the heart of these students in a way that they haven't gotten to in the past. So right.
Yeah, let's hope so. Agree.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I also just defer to Julie on this. If she says jeans and sneakers,
I think it's going to be good. Well, you know, Liz and Leon, I think it's this week. I'm not 100% positive, but I think this is the week we change our clocks back, right?
Yes.
Is this also, do you have routines going on in your house where you replace your smoke detector batteries at this same time? You know how they always tell you
to do.
Mm-hmm. You do. Okay, Leon.
I do that. Yep.
Yeah, I do that. Yep. Okay, well, guess what? Well, the New York Times came out with an article about other household essentials that you also need to be replaced. And now, but as we go through this, and I have some for each of you, I have some ground rules. Now, the reason why we are replacing most of these household essentials is bacteria. Okay. That is going to be the answer to why you need to replace an item. So you don't need to ask the follow-up question because the answer is going to be, in most cases, bacteria.
Bacteria. Okay.
Bacteria. Okay. All right. So let's start with you. Leon, a couple of weeks ago, you declared that your makeup was dead, right? Dead.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Julie. So here's the thing. Your mascara. Guess how frequently you should be throwing away your mascara.
I think it's every 6 months.
No, 2 to 4 months, Leon. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And the reason why is
okay. Bacteria. But Julie, what if I only wear mascara every 2 to 4 months, you know? So
I know, Liz.
Still true?
Okay. Again, because I didn't want this segment to go into grossness. It's happening in the tube, Liz. Okay.
All right. Got it.
Okay. Leon, I know you've got bottles of sunscreen at your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they older than 2020?
Probably some are. Probably
okay.
Some.
You have to throw those away because they are no longer effective. Okay.
Okay.
Really?
That's important. Oh.
Yeah. So that's important. Okay. Now let's turn to Liz.
Okay.
Liz, just give us an estimate of the number of surge protectors you have in your house.
Oh my God.
Okay.
If it's more than a dozen, is that too many?
Okay. In bins and around. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
You have surge protectors. Well, Liz, if these surge protectors lacked an auto shut off feature, they are only good for 3 to 5 years. Okay. They are essentially useless after that 3 to 5 year mark. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Okay. They are not impacted by bacteria. This is one category that's not. But you've got a lot of surge protectors and they're only good for 3 to 5 years. Okay.
So you know how I love anything that like a power in the power cord category.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So effectively useless. So you have them all. They are not helping you. So I think everyone should give Liz some surge protectors for Christmas. Okay. Liz, second item, because I saw it on Cooking with Liz. I've seen it a couple of times. That plastic cutting board you have. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How old is that?
Okay. Well, that I bought at the beginning of Cooking with Liz. So that's only a year and a half old.
Okay. Well, the 2 year mark is when you should be getting rid of those because of the deep grooves, the snacks, scratches, the deep cuts.
Oh, come on. Really?
Liz, bacteria.
Isn't that what a dishwasher is for though? Like hot water in the dishwasher. Okay.
No, it's still in
the grease. That's an expensive habit. Throwing away. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So this is a good list. It's at the New York Times. So, you know, if you want to know how frequently you should get new pillows or how about those foam rollers? Are you each using foam rollers in your house to stretch out?
Yeah.
That's another one you should look at.
Really?
Yes. Cause you get bacteria all over
The phone. I'm not naked when I'm using the foam rollers. I'm not.
Okay. Again, I don't want to have to like detail the grossness of this. Okay.
Okay. We'll put a link to the list in the show notes. Yes, if you just want to verify what Julie is saying. So this seems radical. It seems like we're throwing away everything in our lives every couple of years. That's.
But I think it's important. I mean, you know, whether it's infant car seats or how about those SodaStream bottles? Ugh, you got to get rid of those. Those are going out. Oh, certainly air purifier filters, you got to check that. Foam rollers, yep, they're it's just, they don't even know how long, but it's that, it's the material. Yeah, so.
Okay, all right.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, Julie. Well, as long as we're doing checklists, you know, I was inspired by Rebecca in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. She's trying to take care of her health. So, you know, we're for that, Rebecca. So here's what she wrote. She wrote, okay, how are we doing? Health commitment. All right, Smisters. I'm nearly 50. So I got to say, I love the term Smisters. Can we, instead of saying sisters and misters, can we go with Smisters? Can we agree we're going to start saying that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Rebecca. We're stealing that permanently. All right, Smisters. I'm nearly 50 and committing to make all avoided health appointments before the end of the calendar year. What should be on my to-do list? Who else is ready to commit with me? All phone calls and appointments need to be made by the end of the calendar year, even knowing some of the appointments will be in 2022. So on her list was regular general practitioner, dentist, eye doctor, shingles vaccine, flu vaccine, COVID third dose, colonoscopy, mammogram, dermatologist, gynecologist, specialist as needed. And then the last one, she just put question mark. Like, what else? And she did notice, P.S., I'm not negligent on these, I promise. So she just wanted to get like a mass movement going, like get in there and take care of ourselves. So I would say looking at this list, Rebecca, I am doing surprisingly well. I even had my first shingles dose of the vaccine last month. So I'll get my second one this month. But here's my dermatology story. You know how we don't go anywhere anymore? And so as a result of not going anywhere anymore and having all of my, you know, makeup be old, I realized because I'm not putting on makeup in the morning anymore, I used to put on just foundation with SPF in it. I'm not looking at my face anymore. I'm just not looking at myself anymore because I'm not doing anything to my face, you know? So, I mean, obviously I wash my face, but I'm not really looking at my face as I wash it. So for several weeks running, I noticed there was a little dot on my nose and I thought it was a smoothie stain.
Very common in California, I understand. What?
Because I, you know, I'm living the smoothie lifestyle. I've talked about that. So every morning I make myself a blueberry smoothie. So when I would occasionally see my face in the mirror and I saw this dark dot, like in the middle of the bridge of my nose, I was like, well, that must be from the top of the smoothie glass. And I was just writing it off as a smoothie stain. And then one day I must've been putting on makeup or something. Cause then I'm actually looking at my face. I'm like, my God, obviously that's not a smoothie stain. It's been there for weeks. And I do wash my face multiple times a day. So that's when I realized it was a new dark spot on my face. So Rebecca, thank you for the inspiration. I was like, you know, I should probably not write this off as a blueberry related thing on my face. So I made an appointment to go into the dermatologist for the full on skin cancer check. I used to be pretty good about doing that every year, but I hadn't been in last year or this year. So I went in, I got everything checked out. A lot of people in Rebecca's post noted that, you know, your skin cancer check is one of the more personal checks, right? Because they're really going over your body in great detail. So the good news is it was not a smoothie stain, but it was also not anything serious. It was just, you know, but the dermatologist did, you know, they just freeze it off. Right. And it's gone. She said, I don't think this is anything you should have worried about, but I'm glad you came in. And so it's the smoothie stain slash new giant freckle is now gone. So I wanted to report back on that and challenge everyone to think about this whole list and what's on your list. Now, Barbara was looking at the list and she said, looks like you're covered. I follow up all the big ones with a yummy breakfast and mimosa. So
that's so good for Barbara.
Yes. Good for Barbara. She has a reward system built in. And then Rebecca responded by saying, always after the, what she calls the scoot down appointment and the dermatologist skin check. So if you need to reward yourself with the mimosa after you see your gynecologist or your dermatologist, we say go for it. Anyway, thank you, Rebecca, for the inspiration. I'm working down the checklist.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy. Yeah. They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Okay, and we are back. So I just want to take a moment to remind everyone two things we have going on at Satellite Sisters related to, you know, your holiday needs. Number one is the Satellite Sister shop. Remember, we have one. We have all kinds of t-shirts and glassware and stickers and all kinds of fun stuff that you can buy for anyone in your family. We've got Satellite Sisters logos. We've got aprons, Cooking with Liz aprons that say no eyeballing. We've got a lot of stuff there. We've got like every tagline we ever had, you can probably get it on a t-shirt if you want. So I am going to put the link to the Satellite Sister shop in the show notes. We'll also scatter it around in all of our social media. And now is a good time to order everything because, you know, we are not in control of the supply chain. But if you get ahead of it, do some shopping now at the Satellite Sister shop, especially for the friends, you know, that are like super fans. It's really a great gift.
Then I'm thinking we do an advanced photo spread and pep talk this week for the items in the shop, don't you think?
Yes. Okay.
Putting it on the list.
Okay.
That's marketing. That's marketing. Sister.
Editorial direction. I like it. So we'll do that. But then the other thing you can do that is 100% for free, always a great gift to send to your Satellite Sister, is just forward them an episode of the show. You know, that's a great gift to us because we love to have more listeners. And the best way to get more listeners is for them to listen. So I know sometimes you nominate people to be in the Facebook group. That's okay. But really, we need people to like try out the show. Then they can join the Facebook group. So the best way to do that, no matter what app you listen to, there is a share function. Let me start that again. No matter what app you listen on, whether it's, you know, Spotify or you know, Apple Podcasts or whatever, there's always a share function. So just try sharing the show with your friends. You can also do that at satellitesisters.com/podcasts on our podcast page. You can forward any of our shows to any of your smisters. Okay, there you go. Use the word, made me laugh. Anyway, so Satellite Sisters, shop and share.
All right. Great work, Liz. Okay. Entertaining Sisters. Liz, you have a couple of music suggestions, huh?
Yes. I was just inspired by music this week, Lee. And the first is, you know, the third season of Succession has started again. I know you guys are both into that. It was season three, episode three this weekend. And I was just thinking about how great that music is for that show. You know, it has this, like, it's this very weird sort of piano opening. So a little investigation led me to a fascinating video on YouTube where Nicholas Britell, who is the composer and the pianist who created that music, explains what he was thinking about in the music, why it sounds the way it does. You might notice as you listen to it that he said it's the duality of absurdity and gravitas, right? Right.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Isn't that what you were thinking?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Julie, don't
right
some
into my head. Yes.
Don't some of the chords just tell you that something is off with this family? I think so. Yes. So I'm going to put the YouTube link in the show notes. You can just Google Succession Music and you'll probably find it. This was on posted by Vanity Fair. Anyway, really interesting. I think it's always interesting to hear a composer talk about what was going on in their head when they invented the music. So that's number one, Succession theme music. Number two is I have recommended Conan O'Brien's podcast before. You know, he's just charming and silly and funny. But the newest episode is particularly interesting because he interviews Elvis Costello. Like, okay,
yes.
Come on, Elvis mm-hmm. Costello. But what makes it fascinating is that Elvis has now issued an Audible podcast on how to learn to play the guitar. It's called How to Play the Guitar and Why. And it's part of Audible's new Words and Music series. And what so I listened to him talk to Conan about it. And then I played it. And it's not at all what you expect. It is not a lesson. It's sort of, you know, it's sort of a musical illustration, a recitation, it's storytelling. It is, you know, he talks about how to turn a 3-chord trick into a 4-chord caper, whatever, you know. Anyway, he describes it as this, strictly speaking, isn't an instructional manual, but a work of comedic philosophy. So,
you
go. See, deep. That's very deep. It's Elvis Costello being deep about music. So I'll put the link to that. You can listen to the Conan episode or you can go straight. You know, I'm a longtime Audible subscriber. So I went straight to the Audible course and started to listen. How to Play the Guitar and Why from Elvis Costello.
Ooh, Liz, my head's exploding. I really thought you were going to take up the guitar. I thought that
would
be a surprise for you. Okay. All right. Well, sisters, I have a book to recommend. This is Amor Towles' new book, The Lincoln Highway. Of course, we loved A Gentleman in Moscow and Rules of Civility. This is his new sort of epic book. I've started it. It's 600 pages. So that's my review. It's a big, fat book, which is perfect, I think, for this time of year. You know, maybe we're going to be inside a little more time for reading, more time to read over the holidays. This is just engaging and just beautifully written. And I'm recommending it to all.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Big Facebook.
Julie.
That's, yes.
Okay, go for it. I know. It's like a number one New York Times bestseller. There's a lot of fans of his. So good for him. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, I loved his other two books. So of course I'm going to read this and I want to recommend it to the others.
All right. Fantastic. Next week on the show, we're talking to author Jenna Blum. She has the beautiful new memoir about her old black lab, Woodrow. It's called Woodrow on the Bench. And if you're a dog lover, if you're just dog curious, I mean, this is just a fantastic, wonderful, heart heartfelt memoir. Jenna is the author of The Lost Family. She came on Satellite Sisters to talk about that beautiful book. She's just a wonderful writer, so she can really put into words a lot of things you're thinking about your own dog, because it is Pet Appreciation Week next week on Satellite Sisters. How have we never done like an all animal, all pet show? I can't believe
that. I'm really excited.
I'm so looking forward to it. All animals, all the time, next week.
Ooh, theme shows. Let us know if you enjoy the theme shows and if you can think of any themes. We're open for ideas. But next week we'll be talking to Jenna. Woodrow on the Bench is the name of the book. All right, sisters, that's it. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez for making us sound great. A lot going on in this week's show. Thank you, Sergio, for all the extra work. Also, Emily Loudermilk does our graphic design. You can see Emily's fun designs on our Instagram feed, and that's at Sat Sisters, also in our newsletter. We always like to thank our sponsors at Satellite Sisters, because that is what makes the world go round here. And thanks to all of you who support these sponsors, especially during the holidays this year. Fantastic. We appreciate it. If you need the links, show notes, okay? Mm-hmm. Or pep talk, right? Or
Twitter. We
spread it all around, but if you need the links, that's the way to do it. Okay, on our to-do list today, I am going right after the show to get my booster shot.
So, oh, good.
Oh, good.
Great.
Yeah, you know, I was one of that very slim group of people that got the J&J vaccine, uh-huh, because I was waiting for any vaccine to be available. And when they opened it up to my age group, which is essentially Gen X, apparently they gave us the worst vaccine. So that we got it. We all went. Marched out and done. And now we all need boosters. So the good news is all of us can go get boosters. You don't have to be a certain age or anything. They're basically saying, go get your booster. And so then I had to research more J&J, mix and match. If I'm going to mix and match, I'm going with the mix and match. Mm. So I'm going to get the Moderna this afternoon. So I'll let you know how it goes.
But, okay. All right.
Looking forward to that. Want to get boosted.
Okay. Good luck,
Liz,
with that.
How about you?
Well, I'm playing a little round of what I call what's under the bed, Liz. And it is, you know, this year has been kind of a rocky year for me. And I've had a lot of people coming in and out of my home, helping to take care of me, helping get back on my feet. Leanne, you've been here. Julie, you've been here. Monica was here. And so in the mad scramble to like make my home safe, a lot of things just got shoved out of the way. And sometimes by me, but often by helpers.
Oh yeah, and I did it. I shoved some stuff under that bed.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So, and because I haven't really been able to bend my knee, I haven't even been able to look under the bed yet. So, but now my knee can bend enough so that I was afraid to get down on the floor that I wouldn't be able to get up off the floor. But now I think I'm capable of both getting down on the floor and getting back up from the floor. So I'm going to figure out what's under my bed. And
wow, Liz, that is going to be quite exciting.
It's part of, you know, on Cooking with Liz, I play what's in the drawer, Liz, because I have a junk drawer full of stuff. And that's sort of what the real estate under my bed, and both my bed and the bed in the guest room, I have no idea what's under any of the beds in my home anymore. So that's what I'm doing this week. What's under the bed, Liz?
Fantastic. Jewel, what's up?
Okay. Well, I'm sufficiently freaked out by the supply chain situation. And so I am just jettisoning one of my major life rules, which is to celebrate one holiday at a time. This year, I'm on a super highway. I am just going from like Halloween, boom, right to the end of the year. So lights are going to go up, trees are going to go up, wreaths, the whole things. It's going to be a mishmash here. I'm not separating out holidays. And so it starts today. Yes.
All right. Exciting.
That just makes me laugh. Okay. You really did hold the line for Thanksgiving.
I've just been adamant about one holiday at a time. Okay.
I do believe, though, you are the most susceptible sister to supply chain issues. Like, I feel like that's on brand for you, because you're the most organized and you mail stuff and you get stuff done. Mm-hmm. Whereas the rest of us just kind of, if we're together for Christmas or the holidays, we'll give each other something. Yeah. But you actually plan. Yep. So, all right. Well, I believe in you. I'm giving you a special dispensation for this year.
Okay.
Right. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Liam.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.